For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. We've got another wonderful show in store for you with an amazing human being who I'm truly looking forward to bringing on in just a moment. But of course, first, we start off with my blog post. This one next up in the rotation is when we become attached to our desires, we set ourselves up for disappointment. It is normal to have desires, to want to do something or be someone. Our desires pull us to a certain direction. They are our motivation and our intentions. There is nothing wrong with having these desires. Yet there is a big challenge with them. For in order for us to still be open to what life may bring us, we still have to remain open. Open to the twists and turns of life. Or just open to things not quite working out the way we intended. However, when we want something so much, we can become very attached to the desire without even realizing it. For as a desire grows within us, we can find ourselves making up all kinds of stories about it, how it should look or how things should work out. And that's when we get in trouble. For things rarely work out exactly the way we expect. More often than not, things happen in ways that are completely outside of our imagination. Our attachment to the desire then causes us pain and heartache because things did not happen the way we expected. So our suffering is actually of our own creation. If we can see when we are becoming too attached to something, then we can step back and remember to hold it lightly, to remind ourselves that things rarely turn out exactly as we expect, so we can be more flexible and hold open other possibilities. There was nothing wrong with our desire to begin with. The challenge comes in when we hold the desire so tightly that if anything happens in a way we didn't expect or want, we feel crushed or hurt. Maybe we even blame others for their part in it. And that's when we disempower ourselves. For once we slip into blame, either of others or ourselves, we make ourselves a victim and we stop being a creator. Yet victimhood does not serve us, and it is only when we step back and release our attachment, even to the way things worked out or didn't, only then can we reclaim our power. This is not to say that it is easy to release our attachment once it has gotten so strong. Of course it is not. But if we have practiced non-attachment in little things, then it becomes easier to be non-attached to the big things. Still, we are human, and we will make mistakes. We will become attached to things in our lives. That's okay, as long as we work to become more conscious of our attachments. For when we are conscious of them, we can start to work to hold those attachments with a lighter grip. Over time, and with practice, we can learn to catch ourselves when we start to become attached to something before it goes too far. And all of this work and effort will pay off as we begin to live a more joyful, more effortless life. Can you recognize when you are starting to become attached to something? Do you know how to lighten your grip and begin to release that attachment? Ooh, this is a good one. I wrote this a couple of years ago, and I forget exactly what it was that brought it to my mind, but I know it was around me being attached to a certain outcome to something, and it showing up a certain way, and it didn't. It showed up, you know, kind of differently. And it's been a real practice of mine, especially with the work I do, with helping people, with the radio station, with all kinds of stuff, that like everyone else, I get attached to this desire that things need to be a certain way and show up a certain way. And then it doesn't happen and I get disappointed. And disappointment never feels good, at least not for me. And so just that whole Buddhist philosophy of non-attachment, I mean, it's something I've known about for years. I'm sure many of you have had the heard of non-attachment, have heard of practices around it. But it's one thing to hear about it. It's another thing to actually live it. It's another thing to actually deal with that internal tug that pulls us in that direction. And so I've learned over time, you know, beating my head against the wall once too many times, to take it a little step at a time. I always facilitate people this way, and I'm a big believer in baby steps. Just a little bit at a time. What's something small, something little we can be less attached to? You know, maybe it's, you know, going to your favorite restaurant and they change chefs and now suddenly the way they used to cook a certain dish is different. Now, it might not be to our tastes as much, but okay, it's different. Or maybe it's, you know, we go on a vacation or a trip and we want it to have good weather so we can enjoy being outside or seeing the beauty of nature. And we get there and it's raining or it's foggy and it's just not the way we wanted or expected. Well, maybe we can see the beauty in that too. For everybody, it's different. You know, for everybody, there are certain things we're very not attached to, and then there are other things we're very attached to. And so I guess what this blog post is really all about is just learning to be more aware of those things that we are holding tightly. And seeing what we can do to just lighten that grip, not hold it so tight, not be so pulled in one direction that we can't be open to other possibilities. And I just, for myself personally, I find that when I do hold my grip lightly, when I do have an intention or a desire without being overly attached to it, that oftentimes life will bring me something even beyond my imagination that's even better than I could have imagined. And that worked out wonderfully. Not necessarily all the time, not every single time, but more times than I can count. So That's my blog for this week. The title again is When We Become Attached to Our Desires, We Set Ourselves Up for Disappointment. That's me. Set myself up for disappointment many times. And if you like that blog post, there you can find many, many more on my website at theconsciousconsultant.com, or of course on the radio station at talkradio.nyc/blog as well. And don't forget, if you do like these blog posts that I read every week, my book, Everyday Awakening, is out there on Amazon and all the major booksellers, filled with little tidbits like this. So thank you. All right. Well, now it is my extreme pleasure to welcome to the show speaker, artist, writer, and medicine woman, Tricia Eastman. Tricia is a lineage-honoring medicine woman and founder of the nonprofit Ancestral Heart that bridges worlds rooted in her Metisa ancestry and profound insights from a decade of, I'm not going to say this right, Bwiti?
Bwiti.
Bwiti initiations and training. Thank you. A renowned speaker, artist, and writer, Tricia has been privileged to engage with audiences at Stanford University's D School and the World Economic Forum, as well as on Gaia TV's Psychedelica. Eastman has curated transformative retreats worldwide with plant medicine, as well as facilitated the psycho-spiritual program with Ibogaine and 5-MeO-DMT at Crossroads Treatment Center in Mexico. Her wellness center, Huazores, is scheduled to open sometime later this year, right, Trish?
Actually, we're a little behind schedule. When I wrote that bio, I think it's going to be more like end of 2026. But that's Portugal. Portugal is very slow with everything. I've learned a lot from the experience.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And in your latest book, Seeding Consciousness, Plant Medicine, and Ancestral Wisdom, and Psychedelic Initiation, she presents a deep dive into the world of psychedelic initiation and ancestral wisdom. Tricia demonstrates the power of plant medicine and psychedelic journeys for planting new beliefs, healing trauma, and cultivating latent gifts within us, an inner alchemical process she calls the seeding of consciousness. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Tricia.
Oh, such an honor to be here and to connect with you. I really love the work that you're doing. And I feel like we have like a deep, like I'm surprised we haven't connected sooner, because I feel like we're both kind of in so many different fields at the same time, you know, doing contributions back to, you know, this type of community, doing consciousness work, writing books. And yeah, I just felt like connecting with you before the show. We're like soul family. We are soul family.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. 100%. So, you know, we've both been in these worlds for a while now, but I always like to start off with just a little background for our audience. So what sort of pulled you into this direction of psychedelic work and indigenous transformational lineages? You know, that's not something, quote unquote, normal for most people, is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because on one side of the coin, my dad, you know, was a pot smoker since I was in the crib. And then, you know, when I came of age, I started experimenting with LSD, MDMA, worked at a counterculture bookstore called Raver Books on Pike Street in Seattle when I was in college, and was testing people's MDMA at our parties that we would throw up the street at the Artificial Limb Company. So on one side of the coin, this has like been my life for a whole, like, you know, since I was really young. Also on my mother's side of the family, as I shared, or as you read in my bio, I come from a long lineage of curanderas, and my great-great-grandmother, Jesus, was a mestiza. She had a combination of, you know, more of the Mexican, South American cultural mestiza, working with herbs and prayer. And then she had a boarding house. She's originally from Oaxaca, moved to Jalisco, and then snuck across the border in Texas. And that's how we came to America. And when she had these boarding houses, she would, have people from all over the world. She was widowed. And she got introduced to Santeria. And so the practice that she passed down to my great-grandmother, Maria, and to my grandfather, Richard, was this kind of Afro-mestiza, which is why it's so interesting that, here I am 34, I'm almost 45 now, so a little over 10 years ago, I meet this guy, Martin Polanco. I'm in Mexico, and I do Abogaine for the first time. And it is one of the most potent experiences. I connect with my ancestral lineage from Mexico as I'm in Mexico, having this experience. And like really, healing and holistic therapy have been a big part of my life. Like, the first decade of my career, all the way into my 30s, I was doing wellness consulting and working with aromatherapy and different healing modalities, like more like physical therapy and body therapy and spa consulting. And then I had this kind of trauma that came up due to a traumatic brain injury that got me taking MDMA again. And I had taken about maybe like from age 22 to like 28 and didn't really do much with any psychedelics during that time. And when this traumatic brain injury happened, it really got me on the path of like really wanting to heal. And it was the Abogaine that kind of was that catalyst of that final cycle of healing, which was really just like generations of ancestral trauma that I needed to really get into these altered states of consciousness to understand what they were, because they weren't connected to trauma in this lifetime. They were epigenetic. And so after I had this experience at Crossroads, I asked the medicine, how can I be of service to you? This is, and of course, humbly not knowing, before, going to Africa, getting initiated in the Bwiti tradition in Gabon, which I've studied for the last 10 years, the, what that really meant, like being of service to, something as powerful as the spirit of medicine. And was asked to work at Crossroads like within 3 weeks to facilitate the psycho-spiritual program. And honestly, even with all my background in healing, and understanding, basic understanding of trauma, like a good foundation of trauma, I still felt like I knew nothing. And luckily, going to Africa, getting initiated, going through all of these initiations, I've done 6 initiations in the Bwiti tradition, has really helped me in my growth and understanding of who I am, who the cosmos is, who we are all together, and the purpose that we have. And so, what greater to be of service to?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Beautiful, beautiful. I have a million and one questions. We could go on for hours, but we do have to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about just how you sort of integrate sort of these indigenous traditions with living in the United States and sort of living in modern culture, because it can be challenging for many people. And so bridging that gap is something I think you've done very well. And I think it's something that would be helpful to talk about when we come back. Okay.
Yes. Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern time, right here on talkradio.nyc and all over social media. And we'll be right back with our guest, Tricia Eastman, in just a moment.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're talking this hour with Tricia Eastman, author of the book Seeding Consciousness. So, Tricia, you know, we talked about in the first segment sort of about your background, how you got into working with plant medicine work and all the different psychedelic medicines and your lineage. But one of the things I find can be challenging for people engaging in this work is either we sort of lose the connection to the lineage, to the past, to where it comes from, or it can be challenging to sort of integrate these lessons into our day-to-day life living in cities like New York or San Francisco or Los Angeles or Houston or wherever we are in the United States, and not to mention, you know, other Western countries as well. When you really started to get a deep dive into this and feel the pull of the medicine and started to dedicate your life towards this, was it challenging at all for you to kind of live in the Western world but be so much a part of these indigenous traditions?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, on one side of the coin, I feel like all of us have such a mix of DNA now. And so we're pulled in so many directions as it is. You know, we are, you know, you were talking about the idea of attachments and the victim consciousness and all of these things. Well, we've been everything. You know, when you really look back, like in my ancestral tradition of Bwiti, we've really, you know, reincarnated many times where we've been many different things. And I feel like, you know, the idea of living in this world in this day is really being able to utilize our resources inward. Really, this world is the world of distraction with social media, with artificial intelligence, with electromagnetic frequencies, with all of these chemicals in food that are meant to essentially dirty our system. And when you go back to these ancient initiatic frameworks, it's always first about purification. And that could be through bathing rituals, through sweating rituals, such as Temezcal. And so for me, the way that I stay alive in these times, especially because I feel like the more that you go deep into this work, the more sensitive you become, the more empathic you become. And it's not about masking those things. And I would say, like, in my past world, like as a child, even, it would be disassociating or numbing those things. But instead of, you know, grabbing a drink of alcohol, I have to face them. So you have to have other tools. So I love doing sauna. I love to do really hot sauna and just sweat all that stuff out. Things that really give me a deep reset. I pray every morning. I do Chidao practice, which is a Taoist tea meditation. I've been doing that for about 15 years now. And I really think the deepest tool and gift that we have in these times of distraction is really like orienting the attention inward. So I spend a lot of time just giving myself time to slow down, because I feel like when you are bombarded with so much information and we just have this ability of moving at a speed, and it's gonna just keep getting faster and faster. Yeah. We need these things to really ground ourselves, and we need to take conscious time where we're breathing and slowing down.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's actually one of the things I talk about on the show lately a lot, which is just take a breath, just take a moment. Like, it doesn't have to be a half hour meditation even necessarily, but just take a moment before you start whatever the next thing is that you're going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Just take a moment to center, to breathe, to be present, just so we can be a little more aware, a little more conscious before we engage in the next thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So when did you feel called to actually write a book about all of this? Because you've been in the world for so long. What was it that made you say, like, oh, I think I want to put pen to paper and actually put things down and share with people?
It was actually quite the opposite. I was in Gabon in 2018 in an initiation, and essentially in this chamber for 7 days in this initiatic process, and was given very specific instructions on what to write, what order to write it in, you know, like a layout of what this book is. And it took me a while to finish it, because I had a lot of resistance around it. I mean, as I was writing, it was during COVID. People were very polarized at the time. And, you know, I was just like, you know, this is really hard being someone who's mixed race, going out there talking about Indigenous wisdom, even though I do a ton of work, reciprocity work with my nonprofit, Ancestral Heart. I just felt like I was like, you know, really exposing myself. And so I finally got it finished. Inner Traditions accepted it. I had shopped it like before I had finished the transcript, and I had this idea in my head that it had to be like bought by a publisher. And so I had these doubts, like, is this a waste of my time? And now, you know, I mean, it came out in November, like end of November, just getting so much incredible feedback of the impact that it's already making in people's lives. And I've been in tears multiple times, because really that's what I wanted. Is I was like, how can, you know, I share some of the things that, you know, have come through that are really incredible sacred teachings that I've worked really hard and sifted through a lot of BS. And I would say, like, a lot of the New Age movement is kind of a psyop to distract us and not actually go inward and do the real work. And so, you know, to help direct people in a way, point people, you know, to where the authentic work is, and really give a nice scaffolding to the kind of Wild West craziness that's happening in the psychedelic movement, you know? So I really hope to get it out there to more people to receive that.
Yeah. I, one of the things that from my own background, my own spiritual studies, that has shifted like 180 degrees from doing plant medicine work for the last 10 years was I used to study with people who would talk about spiritual ascension, that the whole idea was to ascend so that you didn't have to reincarnate anymore. And now I really believe that we're here to descend the energies so that we can make this world the beautiful garden that is potential and has been for so long, and that it's not about escaping life. It's about bringing an energy to life that's more supportive, more empowering, more alive, and that there's just tremendous things that we can do in this world.
100%. And that's why our relationship to nature is essential. So if there was anything that would be remotely considered dogma in the book, because I try not to, you know, I just give examples and references, but I'm not like, this is a spiritual path or dogma, none of that whatsoever. But I would say one thing, and I don't say it this way in the book, I talk about it very lightly, but I will say it this way on the podcast. If you're not directing yourself back towards stewardship of nature in doing this work, you're probably not doing it correctly. And I say that with love, meaning that nature is our ultimate teacher, and the gift of reciprocity and understanding the pureness of it, the innocence of it, and how great of a gift it is. Why wouldn't we want to protect it with everything we can give? So, you know, I think in these times that we're in, where we're at this really important moment where, you know, like you said, you know, we can make a choice collectively. Is the earth going to, you know, make it through this time period, which we've, you know, in my tradition of...
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
You know, and I've seen this in my initiations. My Bwiti father, who has passed, Atuma Benga, has talked about, and also I've seen in my visions of different initiations, these times of Atlantis and Lumeria, where life was wiped out on the planet. And we are at that precipice again. A lot of the indigenous elders are saying that. So we have some choices to make.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It is a time of chaos is a very uncertain time, but it's also a time of great opportunity. And so we probably have the ability to make different choices and better choices. The only question is, will we or not in time? Mm-hmm. I hate to take a break at this point, but I do want to take a break right now. Mm-hmm. And when we come back, I just want to ask you, you know, more about your book and the different chapters of your book. And you have so much good stuff in there, like about ego death, about soul repair, and now understanding that this whole thing was kind of downloaded. What surprised you about the book? So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We'll be right back with our guest, Tricia Eastman, author of the book, Seeding Consciousness, in just a moment.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A-Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A-Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So, Tricia, I'm curious, the title of your book, Seeding Consciousness, did that come when you got like the whole outline for the book in that initiation, or is the title something that came afterwards?
Yeah, it was interesting because I was with Alex and Allison Gray, and, you know, we became friends. We were all at the World Economic Forum together, most random place on the planet, a few years ago. This was as I was working on the book. And, you know, we were in this conversation and I was learning and really following his work, and actually read his book, and Alex's book. And interestingly, he talks about in one of, actually it was on a social media post, about this idea of, you know, these sacred pieces of art. Like, you think about the statues in the Buddhist temples where the eyes, they almost are alive. And there's like a transmission of something you can feel viscerally coming through that artwork. And I feel like also of modern day artists, Alex Gray is probably one of the few people that has been able to translate that same type of consciousness through his art, which is like really been through his own journeys into those realms through meditation, LSD, and other psychedelics. And
I've been to his Chapel of Sacred Mirrors up in Chappaqua, and like standing in front of these life-size paintings where he has the energetic lines, you can just feel the energy coming off of the paintings. It's amazing.
I mean, there isn't a detail missed in terms of, you know, really the underpinnings of these mystical concepts of these different worlds and the understandings, and especially, you know, being someone who has visited them many times myself, you know, seeing, you know, that affirming, you know, matching of, you know, the experience. There's something about that. But then people who have never, you know, connected to that also being able to receive that wisdom. And so I truly believe that as humans, you know, our, you know, rather than attachment, because you were talking about attachment earlier, you know, we have this essence of devotion that is within us, which is this intentional, you know, kind of like arrow or whatever you want to call it. Like, it's not necessarily a fixed point, but it's this directional holding, non-holding holding of pointing towards the divine. And that's how we bring it on earth, as you were stating earlier. And so how do we make ourselves that instrument? What are some of the tools and ways that we connect to our intuition? And, you know, how do we truly become artists, like using our lives as a canvas and using our expression, whatever that is, a podcast or a book or whatever, to be that, the word is called sponge scrawl, which is that Tibetan word for the seeding of consciousness within that individual, that when, you know, it's just like one word you say, Sam, you know, triggers this spiritual journey, this rabbit hole. It creates a portal of, you know, learning and within an individual. And it's like those points of connection are key. And so the more that we, you know, really refine that aspect within ourselves, which, you know, we're not really seeding consciousness. It's already there.
Right.
You know, there's actually no action. It's a non-action action. It's just the pointing towards that understanding And embodying that. And again, it goes back to the word integration. Integration seems like a sense of completion. When we have a psychedelic experience or a mystical experience, it's a continual integrating, like forever, you know, like you're always going to be receiving from it. And that again goes back to the reciprocity, because the more that we are in reciprocity with anything, whether it's human in human or plant in human or divine in human, that allows for that energy to be free and to receive more.
There is now what's going on. They call it the Renaissance of psychedelics. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, with all of your experience and your connection to these different lineages, what do you see as some of the big misconceptions that people have when they start to engage in these very powerful substances?
I mean, I think the first misconception that I saw early on, which maybe is starting to change a little bit, but I think more in people talking about it, rather, I don't know if I necessarily see people doing it, is this understanding that if you take a psychedelic, it's going to end your suffering. And people come and then, like, after they do the experience, you know, they work with the psychedelics, they're like, oh my God, I'm still suffering, or I'm even suffering more. And it's like, no, there isn't really a true informed consent happening, where it's like warning, you know, like if you put this through the FDA, they're like, on some of, you know, the medications, like let's say Viagra, it's like may cause diarrhea and headaches. On this one, it's like may cause existential crisis, mania, split personality, you know, it's like all these things. And I think it's really important that these things are approached carefully. The more integrating that can happen, and that starts in the preparation, but also in the post experience, the more you get out of the experience. So I think it's also frequency, you know, people doing it every weekend is unnecessary. Right. I think the reason people do it every weekend is because our culture is so devoid of true community that they just want a sense of connection. So just have a potluck. You don't have to necessarily drink ayahuasca.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Whenever people ask my advice, I always say, if you're really working on something difficult, okay, maybe once a month. But if you're not, like once every 3 or 4 months, if you just want to tune up, like it doesn't need to be any more frequent than that. Because really, if you're not giving yourself the time to integrate and to take these insights, these feelings, these experiences, and applying them to our day-to-day life, then it's not really doing us much good, is it?
Exactly. And you know, you need time to see, like, the world reflect back you. And that's how you know you've changed.
Right.
If you don't take that time to interact with the world and see how your consciousness has shifted, there isn't really, like, I feel like that's such a fundamental part of the experience of the integration. So if you're like one thing after next, and I would say, like, the third thing, if I hope I have enough time to share.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is that just in our culture, we're so separated from initiatic ways of doing things. And in, you know, the way that we are and our understanding of consciousness, which still is very heavy in materialistic concepts, if you see the conversations that are happening in the mainstream, I would say that, you know, like in the Bwiti tradition, when you get initiated, it's not like you do the initiation and now I'm an enlightened being, I'm a Buddha. It's just like when Buddha was under the Bodhi tree, that was like day one. And so in Bwiti, after you're initiated, you're called a Banzi, which means hatchling. It's a newborn. It takes a minimum of 10 years to be a Nima, the person who gives initiation. So you go from beginning hatchling and then to, like, you know, like our Bwiti father, and in the lineage of Fang Bwiti, we call the Nima, we'll call them masters, you know, like Master Atum. So, you know, I truly believe that, you know, being that we are this very young culture, I feel like making decisions from that context, like about the future of psychedelics, about, you know, healing trauma, especially not including elders of indigenous traditions in these conversations, is really detrimental and very odd to me, because it's like, you know, like I would want the instruction manual, like, you know, you find this peyote plant and then you see someone who knows, you know, has known it for thousands of years, and you're like, oh, you have the instruction manual for this? I definitely want that.
Right, you know? Right. Exactly. Like, why ignore the obvious?
Exactly. Yeah. So I feel like, you know, we're still very young, and I think, like, there is something to really holding that sacred and taking the time to digest that. And I do see, like, this eagerness of people going out, and it's great, but it's also like, you know, like when you understand the mystical concepts of, you know, different deities and different things, like the idea of overexpansion in the New Age movement is actually Lucifer, which is the light bearer. It's not necessarily like this evil satanic force, but it's like when you expand too quickly and you're not grounding and integrating. And so I think we just need to, like, bring ourselves back to earth and bring in that eldership. And I think that's going to be really important for us moving forward.
Absolutely. Which you kind of touched upon. And when we come back from break, I would like to finish up our conversation around spirituality and psychedelics, because so much of the movement today feels to me like it's all just about healing. But there's actually a much deeper aspect to it, which you talk about in your book. So when we come back, let's talk about the alchemy and the spiritual side of working with plants, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Awesome. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We've been speaking this hour with Tricia Eastman, author of the book Seeding Consciousness, and we'll be right back to wrap it all up.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So Tricia, in your book Seeding Consciousness, you talk about alchemy in it, which is really kind of a topic that I personally love, because the idea of bringing to of the alchemist, the turning the spiritual aspect of turning lead to gold, right? It's creating a formula that helps us to connect to our higher self. That's all really about sort of the spiritual side of stuff. Yet in the psychedelic movement, it seems like everything's going towards medicalization, mental health, and there's not necessarily a lot in there about, well, the spiritual aspect of psychedelics, is there?
Yeah. And the word spiritual, I just want to say, like, you know, when I think of spirituality, I think of like the more Gnostic idea of spirituality, mm-hmm. which is that within ourselves is a unique truth. And that comes through the expression of knowing ourselves and our purpose, you know, who we are. And, you know, the idea of alchemy is, you know, really this understanding of how we connect to receive insight and information and understand that there are mystical forces that are supporting us all the time. Mm-hmm. That's ancestors, that's our own soul, our own intuition. At least in MAPS MDMA therapy, they have written into the therapy protocol to direct the person into their inner healer. And I think that's a really important concept, because it's, again, you know, rather than taking a pill and thinking the pill is the thing that's going to solve the problem, the MDMA, it's actually the inner healer and the therapeutic modality of directing the person into their pain to feel the trauma, to feel the emotions, and then also to inner resource that insight. And the idea of inner alchemy isn't necessarily about this mental process of like, okay, if I receive all this information and I get enough information, it's going to change. Really what it is it's a form of self-love, because mm-hmm. mystically, when that thing that's stagnated in you, think of it like a lead stone, when you give it your full attention versus running away from it, taking drugs, taking alcohol, you know, distracting it with Netflix, your cell phone, social media, versus like just sitting with this thing that has been like a thorn in your paw, essentially, in some way, it's creating some suffering in your life. And through like being curious about it, it's not like we necessarily have to get this like revelation, like, oh, this is connected to when I was 3 years old. That can happen. But it's like sometimes without the attachment, which was what you were talking about earlier today, it just kind of softens up and decides to make its way and metabolize.
Right. Exactly. Sometimes it's just some part of ourselves that just wants to be heard, wants to be acknowledged, and just needs to be held tenderly so that it can feel safe. We can feel safe with ourselves. And when we can feel safe with ourselves, then we can be safe with other people. I'm curious, with all the work you've done, with all the initiations, what challenges you today? What still is difficult for you?
Or is that project, a tough question? I would say, like, you know, like working on this project in Azores, in the very beginning, it felt like there was a lot of flow designing it, working really closely with the architects, getting it to the point of, you know, going through all the approvals, getting all the approval letters. But I would say, like, it's gotten a little bit past my pay grade in like doing these really complex financial modeling spreadsheets. And, you know, I would say like like administrative stuff is really hard for me. And I tried to be like good about doing all of that, but I just don't think it's my archetype. I'm not that I'm not supposed to do it because I don't want to spiritually bypass in any way myself, but it's just been like, sometimes feels like trudging through mud and also like just getting help because I feel
I know people who can help you with that.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I bow. I definitely want to meet them because, yeah, I mean, I just feel like and taking on too much because I love creating things. And so I think what happens is when I take on too much, then that's when I start to get overwhelmed.
Yeah. I can understand that completely. I'm, they call it a multi-hyphenate. Like I have interests and capabilities in all kinds of different areas and I could spread my energies in a million different places, but then there's not enough energy in any one place. So nothing really grows that far. So I can definitely relate to that. How are you feeling about the future these days? Are you optimistic, pessimistic, or just totally uncertain?
I'm doing everything I can to make a difference. And I think each of us have to, and that's the inner work and the outer work. I still think there's multiple timelines that could play out. I think it's going to be a longer journey than a lot of the indigenous prophecies. The Akogi talk about, you know, this period between now and 2027 kind of being the most difficult, but I don't think we're going to be completely out of the woods, but I also believe we chose to be here during this time. And so, I mean, I guess it's really the time where those who have been doing work are going to see, did the work work?
Yeah. It's interesting. I've asked this question to many, many guests I've had on the show. I've had on Christopher Bache, who wrote the LSD in the Mind of the Universe. I've had on David J. Brown. I mean, lots of different people in this area and in very many spiritual teachers. And most of them seem to say a similar thing, which is, it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
There's probably going to be a lot of suffering in the process. But what's on the other side of this is something very beautiful, and that we do that we do actually make it, but it's not going to be what we look or think or.
Yeah.
We're not necessarily going to get there that way. Trisha, it has been such a pleasure to have you on my show. I could speak with you for hours and hours. Unfortunately, we only have an hour on the show. Definitely would be happy to have you come back on and when you get your retreat center up and running, so we can talk about the launch of that. If people want to learn more about you, learn about your nonprofit, what are the websites? Where would they go to find more information?
Oh, thank you so much, Sam, for having me. It's just been such a gift to connect with you. And I can't wait to come back on again. It would be really fun to continue this conversation. Yeah. And my main website that I want to direct people to is ancestralheart.com, which is my nonprofit, where I'm doing really some important work that was tasked to me related to the Kogi Kagaba, who are in La Sierra Nevada. The Mamus spend 9 years in darkness. And they are the ones that have been bringing through these prophecies. And so supporting that work, which you can learn more about because we're out of time. And then also to please pick up my book, Seeding Consciousness. You can get it on Amazon. Please be kind and leave a review if you love it. Would really appreciate that. And just super grateful.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much, Trisha. We'll make sure to have those links in the show notes. Truly a pleasure to have you. I wish you the best of luck, and I look forward to meeting you one day in person when our paths and the stars align and we can cross.
We will.
Absolutely. And of course, thank you, my loyal listeners, for tuning in each week. Without you, there is no show. And don't forget, if you did miss any part of today's show, please remember that you can always catch the replay on talkradio.nyc or on all the major podcasting platforms, Apple, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio. Wherever you love to listen to podcasts, you can find the Conscious Consultant Hour. Thank you all for tuning in. Take care. We will talk to you all next week.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be frank about health with all of you.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A-Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A-Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.